come on and pick and grin. We enjoy hearing good music too. And so don't forget that. I'm going to start reading here in verse 6. I went over this real fast last Sunday night, but I'm going to take my time and go through it tonight. Verse 6, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick cloud, and the cloud is not rendered unto them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds, until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Part of his ways. Job's three comforters had offered many, many remedies to Job, but they never even touched the disease. Their idea was that Job had to be an incredibly, incredibly bad, awful sinner to be in such a terrible condition. And they gave him many remedies, but never touched the disease. They were blind men trying to describe Job's troubles and the reason for them, and also the remedies. Job called them all miserable comforters, all of you are. You're just miserable, miserable to comforters. And you know, and we went through that chapter 25 last week too also, where the God said the moon, sun, and shine don't even shine in his sight. They're not pure. How much less man that is a worm. So Job's words reveal that though Satan, God had let Satan, allowed Satan to come after Job and had brought ruin. He had had ruin and desolation upon himself. God had brought this desolation, ruin upon him. He had not destroyed his hope, his view, and his faith in God Almighty. No matter what they said, no matter how bad a shape he was in, he never, ever lost his view of God and his love for God and his submission to God. And I tell you what, and here he is, and he's going to go through six chapters. He's going to six chapters that Job's going to answer these fellows. And he hath not touched the spirit that was in him. And that's why verse 14 says, you know, these are just parts of his ways. And that same way, parts of his ways means the outskirts of his way. Just the outskirts out here. And look what it says there in verse 6. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. Now, you know, this means more than just the bottomless pit. He sees all the hell that some people cause on this earth. A lot of people bring a lot of hell on a lot of people. And I'm using it in the biblical sense. There's a lot of people that make people's life absolutely miserable. And you know, we people say all the time, said, boy, there's hell on this earth. I've been through hell on this earth. And people do that. Well, God sees that. That's open before him. He sees everything that everybody does. You mistreat somebody, you make their life miserable, and you bring hell to them and hell into their life, and all the darkness that hell brings with it. And that's what it means, darkness. It means meanness. It means a cruelty. It's a cruelty. And then there's a hell beneath. A hell beneath. That's the place that you want to shun by God's grace. And the world of spirits. The world of spirits. And this world got full of spirits. He says, you know, said, He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he's talking about the spirits of this world. And he said that the world of spirits is naked before God Almighty. There's no matter telling how many demons are in that in this world at any given time. Well, who do you think causes all these people to shoot all these people? Who do you think makes these people do these crazy, crazy things? It's the demons in them. It's the devil in them. And that's what he's talking about. The world of spirits is naked before his eyes. I'll tell you what, his eyes see all the way to the bottomless pit. He sees all the way down to the bottomless pit. And I know this. That's why we say, Lord, you know me. You know me. Search me. Try me. And if there's any wicked way in me, Lord, save me from it. I don't want nothing in me that would hinder my relationship with you, because hell is naked before him. The bottomless pit, he can see all the way to the bottom of it. And I tell you, look, you keep Job and look with me over in Hebrews 4. Look in Hebrews 4. Look what it says over here. Not only is that, but look in Hebrews 4 and verse 13. Oh, not only does he see all the way to the bottomless pit, and he sees the hell that's on earth, he sees the hell that's beneath the earth, he sees the darkness in the world of spirits is naked before his eyes. But look what he says there in Hebrews 4:13. He even knows your heart and mind. They're naked before him. Listen, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight. That he, I said, I see everything. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God says, as far as I'm concerned, I see everything there is about you. Everything there is about you. And so I tell you, hell is naked before his eyes. And all my destruction and all the destruction that's caused by these things. He said, I see them all. I see them all. Then look what he says there in verse 7. He stretches out the north over the empty place. Now you know, when you go to the north, it gets... Go to the North Pole and start from the North Pole and go down as far as you can to the equator. And you know, and he said he took the north and just stretched it over. Just stretched it out. Just stretched it out. And he said, I want this place to be cold. He just stretched it out. Look what else it says here about it. And he hangs the earth upon nothing. That's one of the most astounding statements that I've ever read in my life and ever... You know, this world, here we live in a world. We live on this earth. And when he's talking about the world, he hangs the world upon nothing. And we're living in this world. We're living on this ball that God created. And God, he said, here this is this wonderful space here. I believe I'll take the earth and I'll just hang it out here. And I'm going, you know, not I'm going to hang it out here, but I'm going to tell it to stay right where it is. And I don't want it to never move. Oh my. Do you know what the foundation of the earth is? Look in Psalm 11. Look in Psalm 11 with me. Look in Psalm 11. Oh, he hangs the world upon nothing. Oh, do you know what the foundation of the earth is? He asked this question, Psalm 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, what foundations? Well, the foundations of the earth. The foundations of grace, the foundations of righteousness, the foundations of mercy, the foundation of the death of Christ. If the foundations be destroyed, what in the righteous going to do? Well, that verse 4 answers it for us. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne's in heaven. Go ahead. go on and mess with the foundation. Listen, you're messing with God when you mess with the foundation. And listen to what he said. And his eyes behold the eyelids of the children of Israel, the children of men. And he tries them. Oh my, what a foundation we have. God himself hangs this world upon nothing. And the scriptures always told us how things were created. The Bible's always told us how things were created. And then science finds it out centuries and centuries later. You know, here's the thing that, you know, when people used to get in ships and they'd go sailing somewhere. When Christopher Columbus took out the sail, he didn't know if he was going to get to the end of the earth and then just fall off. That's what they thought. They thought the earth, you know, went so far, and then you got to the end of it. You know, if you went too far and didn't find some place to do, you just fall off. You just go off the end of the earth. They thought, they didn't know anything about the earth being round until they read Isaiah 40 and verse 22. The Lord sitteth upon the circle of the earth. You know, and that tells us, you know, have y'all ever heard anybody believes a flat earth? That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. And here he said, he sits upon the circle of the earth. And I was talking to a fellow one time, and he told me, he said, I got a different cosmological view. I said, what in the world's a cosmological view you're talking about? I don't understand. He said, well, I view how the cosmology come into existence different than you. And I said, well, what are you talking about? Speak plain language. He said, I believe the earth's flat. I said, what about he sits upon the circle of the earth? He said, oh, listen, all these pictures you see of the earth and up from above, and it's just a great big ball. He said, that's all pictures that they put out just to show, deceive everybody else. Can you imagine? But God, he said, God sits upon the circle of the earth. God does. He let us know right quick that there ain't no danger of you falling off the earth. You start one place and go all the way around, you come right back where you started. You start at the top, go all the way to the bottom. And go all the way around that way, and you come right back where you started. Oh, I tell you, I'm going to believe what God said, ain't you? I'm going to believe what God said. And all the balancing of the earth, let's think about it. This earth is balanced. He said, there's nothing out here. And in fact, that's what the scripture said. God created the world out of nothing. There was nothing here. Nothing. And all God had to do to create something, just speak. Just say. He just said. That's all he had to do to create. He just speaks. He said, I want a heaven. There's a heaven. I want an earth. There's an earth. I want trees on the earth. There's trees on the earth. I want seven oceans. There's seven oceans. He said, I want mountains over there. And I want deserts over there. And there they was. He just speaks to get something done. Huh? Oh my. And he balances this world and everything on. He said, I put you here and I want you to stay right there until I create a new heaven and a new earth. And I tell you what, this earth is balanced. You know, Ed, can you imagine hanging on nothing and it don't fall? It don't never move. It don't go too far this way, that way, that. It's just exactly where it ought to be. Why? Because God hung it on nothing. Oh, the balance in the earth and the worlds in space. These are just the parts of his ways. And when he talks about the world, hangs the earth upon nothing and the world and earth upon nothing. You know, there's all kinds of worlds in this world. God's made lots of worlds. He made the world full of stars, the seas, the sun, the moon. And how many worlds are there in this world? And I think about this. Every one of us in this building have our own world that we live in. Every one of us have our own little world. Some people have a bigger world and a wider world and a larger world than some people, and other people have just a small world. Very small world. And you know, my neighbor, before he died, he'd never been farther than 50 miles from where he was born and raised. So his world was so small. And there's people that they got big worlds. I mean, they know lots of people, lots of traveling, and then other folks. But every one of us in our homes, we all have our own little world. And husbands and wives can be married, and yet the wife has her world, and the husband has his. And God made them. Ain't you glad He gave us a world? I'm comfortable with my world. Are you? I'm comfortable with the world God gave me. You all comfortable with the world God gave you? Huh? Oh, my. Bless His name. And I tell you what, look what it says now, and also then in verse 8. He bindeth up the waters in thick clouds, and the cloud is not rendered unto them. Oh, what in the world does this mean? That he takes these clouds, these great big clouds that we see, thunderheads and all that we see. He fills them plumb full of water. The water, he just got water just packed in them clouds. And he binds it up. Binds it in them clouds. And he holds them together by an invisible hand. That he can hold them by, he can hold them up, and until he wills for them to open. Has an invisible hand that he binds them up. Then when he wants it to rain, he just opens his hand. Huh? I'm glad he's got his hand open right now. Huh? These clouds, that rain coming out of them clouds. Oh my. He opens them and pours out the water. Oh, look with me over in Proverbs 30. Look in Proverbs 30. This is a blessing to me. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Proverbs 30 and verse 4. Oh my. You know, we'll watch the clouds go by, and they'll have the promise and hope of rain when we really need it, and then none will come. And then other times, we're not even expecting rain. Next thing you know, it's a deluge. And I tell you, you know, these meteorologists, they talk about Mother Nature. You know, Mother Nature is going to give us, she's going to make it rain. You know, Mother Nature. And I've told you about them three women that don't exist, ain't I? Mother Nature, Lady Luck, and Misfortune. we don't believe in any. That's three women. I don't believe in at all. But look what it said here in Proverbs 30 and verse 4. He asked this question: Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Listen to this: Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Oh my. Oh God. He binds up the waters in the thick clouds. Next time you see a big old dark cloud there, you say, God's got that thing. He got it in his hand. A visible hand's got that. Invisible hands got that. And oh my. Look what he says there in verse 9. This is another one of them things. He holdeth back the face of his throne. What in the world can he mean holding back the face of his throne? But Job is saying, behind everything that we see, everything that we can see, everything that we can see, behind the visible creation that we can see, and all the laws that God put in force in this world, and everything that we can see, all is veiled and spread over the face of His eternal throne. And that's what He's saying. He said He hides the face of His throne. Have you ever seen His throne? He's got it hid. He's got it hid. There's three thrones in the Scriptures. There's the throne of judgment. There's the throne of glory. And there's the throne of grace. And I tell you what, we've already been to the throne of judgment, as she sung in the Beloved. When He went to the tree, I went there with Him, accepted in the Beloved. And I tell you what, so we've already been to the judgment throne. And we delight in the throne of glory. But bless His holy name. Ain't you glad He's got a throne of grace we can come to obtain mercy and find mercy in our time of need? Huh? Oh, listen, we got a throne of grace to come to now. And I tell you, He said, behind all that we three, His throne is not visible. It's not visible. It's not visible. Behind that whole creation, the whole creation, behind the creation, and everything holds back the face of His throne. And all the glory and majesty. God Almighty, who rules over all things. And He shines through all of His material world. And Job saw Him. But you can't see His throne. You can't see His throne. But I tell you what. One of these days we're going to see it. Huh? And guess who we're going to see sitting on it? Oh, it's going to be a blessed day when we get to see that throne. Oh, what a blessed day that's going to be. Look at Psalm 92. I've got to show you this. 97, I'm sorry, 97. 97. Look what he said in verse 1 and 2 about God. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about Him. You see, He got His face, throne face of His throne. Clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are where His throne lives, and He sits on His throne. Where righteousness and judgment. That's the habitation. That's the place where His throne's at. Oh my. All right, let's go back over here in our text. I want to show you something else. In verse 10 says, He hath compassed the waters with bounds. What does that mean? He went around all the oceans and He said, now you can come this far and you can't come no further. Come this far and you can't come no further. He set the boundary upon the face of the waters. And He set the bounds of the oceans and the seas. He marked the horizon. When you stand in one place and you see as far as you can see, He set the horizon as far as you can see. From the earth to the sea, He set the horizon. And I tell you, look in Isaiah. You're going to love this. In Isaiah 40. I believe you'll like it. Isaiah 40. It's talking about God setting the boundaries of the water. Look in verse 12. He set the limitations to everything upon the earth. And look what He said in verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Try to hold water in your hand. It runs right through your fingers. You can't get it to stay in your hand, but God can hold all the waters in the hollow of His hand. And not only that, but He can hold us in the palm of His hand. That's how great. That, no wonder He said these are just parts of His ways. And yet He said He measured the water in the hollow of His hand, meted out the heavens with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth. He had a measure for it. Huh? And weighed the mountains and put the mountains. Said, I'm going to put these mountains in scales, see how much they weigh. And I'm going to put the hills in the balance, see if they balance out. Look what He says down here in verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. He measures all the water in the hollow of His hand. He said, now look at all these nations. They're just a drop in the bucket. And are counted as small dust to the balance. Oh my. So He set the boundaries. He has set the limitations to everything. And back over here, and it says this in verse 10 again. He sets the waters with bounds until the night, day and night come to an end. When day and night cease to be, that's how long God has set limitations on things on this earth. Till night ceases to be. You know, when Paul stood on Mars Hills, he looked at all the, he went in that big temple there in Mars Hill and the Acropolis in Greece. And he stood there and they had altars all over the place. I mean altars everywhere. Round and around and around and around altars. And they had one, he said over here, to the unknown God. In case there's one we missed, we got every the rest of them named. But and Paul stood up and says, men and brethren, I got news for you. You fellows are way too religious. He said, you got all these gods. I see all your idols. But you see that one right there, said the one you don't know? That's what I'm going to tell you about. I'm going to tell you about the one you don't know anything about. And you know what he said? God, the first thing he said, God who made the heavens and the earth. He said, you see this temple? God don't dwell in these temples that you made. See all this gold and stuff you got in all these idols? God don't worship by the works of men's hands, silver and gold. Seeing that He gives life and breath to all men. It's by Him we live, move, and have our being. And God help us to see beyond time and sense and behold the eternal. And then look what He said in verse 12. And about the sea. He divides the sea with His power. That's talking about when He parted the Red Sea. That talks about, you know, He can make the sea, He can part the sea, and by His understanding He smites through the proud. When He went through that, smited through the Red Sea, you know what He did? He also smote Pharaoh, who was proud. He smashed Pharaoh. I tell you another fellow that is real proud that He smote. There's Saul of Tarsus. He was so full of himself, so full of self-righteousness, that he said, I hate Jesus Christ, I hate Him with a passion, and I want to put Him out of business. Until one day, God said, I'm going to smite that proud fellow. I'm going to smite right through him. I'm going to go right to his heart, and I'm going to put a dart right in the middle of it. And when I get done with him, you know what he'll say? I'm the chief of sinners, and though I be an apostle, now I don't know how you can do this, but he said, I'm less than nothing. He went from being a hater of Christ to saying, I ain't nobody. When God smites through a proud man and He puts him down, you know what the first thing he says? Boy, I ain't nobody. I ain't nothing. Huh? Oh my. And then look what he said. He smites the proud, the arrogant. He smites them on their way. Job said this, that he says, you know, he took the crown off of my head. He took the, you know, the wisdom and power of God ought to humble a man, but it won't. He won't do it until God gives him a view of the wisdom and power and love manifested in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He smites the proud. Oh my. Isaiah 23:19 says this. I won't have you look at it. But it says that God stains the pride of man. He stains it. He giveth grace to the humble. But He said, I ain't having nothing to do with that proud man until I smite him. And then look what it says there in verse 13. By His Spirit He garnished the heavens. Oh my. Everybody knows what garnish means. It means to dress it up. Dress it up. Religious men garnish theirself. You know what? Can that evil spirit left that man's house? And he went back, you know, and it was swept and garnished. Cleaned it out. This evil spirit's left and it's cleaned out, the unclean spirit was. And it was all cleaned out and it's garnished. You know how they garnished it? Got him a cross, put it on his lapel. Got him a Bible, red letter, of course. And got him some calendars, got him some pictures of Jesus. Started going to church. Started talking, you know, like a religious fella. Got all cleaned up. Go chase his ways. And then that fella said, listen, I am tired of being out here. I'm going to go back where I come from. I'm going to get right back in that house. When he went back in, he took seven others worse with him. But now when God garnishes something, you know, if I'm wrong, you tell me. Some of you astronomers, have you ever seen, you know, there's seven constellations out there that they say, there's Aquarius, the water bearer, there's the Big Dipper, there's the Little Dipper, there's Leo the lion, there's Orion, they got all these different things, and if you know where to look for them, you can find them. You know, if you got something, some way to look, and you look in the sky in certain places, you can see these images. You can see them. You know, and I used to be able to look up and tell you where the Big Dipper was, but I ain't looked up to look at it in a long time. But I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's what the scriptures mean. God garnished the heavens. He garnished the heavens. Now, I'll tell you, next time you're out and it's real dark, look up and see if you can find the Big Dipper, and then look and see if you can find the Little Dipper. Then look and see if you can find the lion. Look and see if you can find Aquarius, the water bearer. Look, see if you can find them. Huh? And you know what you're looking at? God garnishing the heavens. And the Milky Way. Oh, my goodness, the Milky Way. That goes on and on and on and on and on and on. It's just a gob of stars. Just all. You know why? God said, I want to make these heavens look gorgeous. I want to make them shine. I want to make them people, when they look up there, they'll think of me. They'll see my glory up there. Huh? He dresses up the heavens. And I tell you, not only does He dress up the heavens, but He dresses up our souls. Now, I tell you what, I'd rather Him dress my souls, dress the heavens. You know, it dresses our soul. What does He dress it with? He dresses His redeemed with the righteousness of Christ. And I tell you what, I love it that He's dressed up the heavens, but I love it much more that He's put a dress on, He's dressed me up. You may not see it, but He's dressed me up really, really good. I've got the best robe on. I've got the most glorious robe on that God Himself looks at it, and He said, all I see is, like she sung in that song, all I see is my Son. Huh? All I see is my Son. Oh my. And then this is my last little point right here. He, by His Spirit, verse 13, He's garnished the heaven, and His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Now what in the world is He talking about? His hand has formed the crooked serpent. And he subdued that crooked serpent. He subdued that swift serpent. Now, let me... this could mean Satan himself. It could mean that. He's crooked. He's called that great serpent. It could mean that, and then also it could also mean that when he sends lightning. He sends the lightning out. It'll look like a crooked serpent. Lightning comes and it just flashes. And it just looks like a crooked serpent. But I tell you what, it don't make any difference. Whether it's Satan or whether it's lightning, they're both under his control. And they, you know, when Satan come walking around looking, and God had a conversation, two conversations over Job. And Satan could not make a move. Could not make a move until God said, "You can do that. I'll let you do that." Satan cannot make a move until God says, "You can do that." I've told you, I think I've told you all about Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan and Christian, he became Christian. He's the one who became Christian. And Faithful was with him. And they was going one night, and they seen this beautiful house all lit up. All lit up. And they wanted to go to that house. It was called Gaius's house. And they wanted to go up to Gaius's house. It's all lit up, and that's, you know, where Christ was the light of that place. And they wanted to go up there. They wanted to go up there, and it was so welcoming to them. And when they got there, there was these two lions. And they went by there, and all of a sudden them lions run out there. And they just went, scared them to death. They backed way up. And then they looked and looked and looked. And them lions would run out there, and they could only go so far. And they said, "Oh, listen, we'll just go around this way. We'll just and go on up to the house." You know what that means? That God's got the devil on a chain. He can't go no farther. And God said, "You can go that far and no further." And he ain't going to do a thing except God allows him to do it. Huh? And oh my, I do know this. How mighty, look what it says there in verse 14. How mighty and glorious is our Lord. And it says these are just parts of his ways. Just parts of them. Huh? The outskirts. How little a portion is heard of him. You know, he said we see through a glass darkly. One of these days then we'll see face to face. Now we hear just a whisper. Now we hear a voice, and it's not much. Creation, God spoke in a whisper, but it's God's voice. But in the cross, God spoke loudly, clearly, and plainly. He said, "This is how I deal with sin. This is how I deal with judgment. This is how I deal with wrath. This is how I deal with mine elect. I put my sin on my son." And then the greatest cry that was ever heard, the most blessed word that was ever heard, when our Lord cried from the cross and said, and it says, he said it with a loud voice, "It is finished." I heard that voice. I heard that voice. I hear it every day. When I see my sin just crawling all over one another, all the sins that I've done in my lifetime, especially when I was a kid, and sometimes they come back, and my sins ever before me. But I remember this. It is finished. It is done. Nothing left to do. Huh? Oh. That's just part of his ways. Imagine what it's going to be like. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to, for God to take us out of this world, create a new heaven and a new earth, and us to be in His presence for all eternity. I just can't. Huh? But you know why we keep coming? Every time we come, we'll hear part. We'll hear. And that's the thing about it. At our best, the best hearing we do, we only hear part of what's being said. And by the time we get to the house, the part we got, a lot of times it's gone before we get back there. But that's what I'm talking about. That's just part. That's all we get, just a part of His way every once in a while. Huh? But bless His name, at least we get some of it. We get something. Our Father, oh, blessed, blessed God. How blessed are You, how glorious are You, how majestic are You, how infinite, how eternal. Your ways are past finding out. Oh, the wisdom, both of the wisdom and knowledge and counsel of God. Who can find out His ways? But Lord Jesus, we want to know Your way. We want to know You. We want to know You. We want to be found in You. We want to be found in Your righteousness. We want to be found accepted in the Beloved. And God bless these dear saints. Thank You for bringing them. Thank You for allowing me to preach. Lord, You're such a blessed God. Oh, give us such words. Give us such views of Yourself. Oh, Lord. Oh, blessed be Your name. God bless and keep these dear saints as they go their way. Bless them as they get up in the morning. Bless them as they go down in the day. Bless them as they go throughout their day. Preserve and keep them. For Christ our Lord's sake, I pray. Amen. 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 Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. See you Wednesday, God willing.